betrayed, yet bound to the billionaire by Grace Madeline. Chapter 41. Sophia noticed a cameraman following her and immediately put on a serious expression. As she bent down to gather some branches, she said, "Although the strong wind last night almost caused some trouble, it's really nice to get up close and personal with nature. I wasn't being careful last night and almost got myself into trouble. Hey, guys, make sure to stay safe out there." Sophia playfully winked at the camera as she spoke. Sophia was wearing a spaghetti strap dress, and her arms, scratched by weeds, were covered in red marks on her delicate skin. The itching made her instinctively want to scratch. Sophia regretted not changing into a long-sleeved outfit. But then again, long sleeves would have hidden her sexy, graceful figure. She gritted her teeth and endured the discomfort, thinking to herself, "It's fine. Hang in there. I'll be back soon. Once I'm back, I'll just put on some medicine, and it'll be fine. Am I the only one wondering why she keeps wearing a spaghetti strap dress on a deserted island? There are bugs everywhere. Her skin is full of bug bites. She's so fake. Why are you being so mean to a woman? Sophia just wants to look her best, and she's done nothing wrong. What's the big deal about wearing a dress? Are you criticizing her on purpose? The public is so unfair to women nowadays." Sophia's fans immediately clapped back, but the audience's dissatisfaction with Sophia remained strong. Not far away, Finian, Atlas, and Lucian had gathered plenty of dead fish, shrimp, and shellfish. As they walked back, they noticed Sophia carrying a pile of branches and quickly stepped in to help. The group made their way back together, bustling with activity as they processed the fish and shrimp. However, they were faced with a problem. None of them had brought a proper cooking pot for the fire. "How about this shovel?" Lucian pointed at a nearby shovel, which he had chosen from the tools provided by the production team. "It's okay. Let's clean it up first," Finian said. Sophia hesitated, thinking to herself, "I remember that shovel is for manual labor. Can we really use it to cook? What if we get poisoned?" Despite her inner reluctance, she forced a smile and pretended to be fine with it. "That's great. Now we have something to cook with," Sophia said enthusiastically. Just then, a pair of underwear hanging to dry suddenly fell, landing right next to Lucian. He glanced at it briefly. Noticing it, Sophia quickly darted over, snatched it up, and stuffed it into her suitcase. She had washed it the night before and hung it up to dry, never expecting it would fall. "Finian, Odalise used to like you, didn't she? So why is she upset with you now?" Sophia lowered her voice to ask. In reality, Sophia had deliberately chosen to bring up the question while the live stream cameras were rolling. Even though she whispered, her words would still be picked up on the stream. Finian stayed silent, giving Sophia a thoughtful look, unsure why she had suddenly brought this up. Back then, the two of them had agreed on a plan. Finian would charm Odalise into replacing Sophia as Percival's bride. Once they married, Finian could share in the benefits Odalise would bring from the Stewart family. Odalise had been showing her fondness for Finian, so Finian naturally regarded her as a suitor. Chapter 41. What Finian didn't know was that it had all been orchestrated by Sophia. Sophia had deliberately made him misunderstand that Odalise was pursuing him. Sophia had Odalise deliver gifts to Finian on her behalf and intentionally dropped hints to Finman that Odalise admired him. As a result, this ambiguous situation had developed, with both sides believing there was mutual interest. Sophia had been the one misleading both of them all along, making Odalise think Finian liked her and convincing Finian that Odalise adored him. "It's not a big deal. Just say a few sweet words to her, and she'll forgive you," Sophia whispered with a sly smile, offering advice nearby. Lucian squatted quietly, lost in thought. His gaze shifted to Sophia, noticing the mosquito bites on her smooth neck. "Miss Bennett, you've been bitten by mosquitoes. Do you want to put on some lotion? Lucian asked, holding out a bottle of calamine lotion. Sophia glanced at it and declined. I'm not able to do much right now, then let me help you, Lucian offered. Dipping his fingertips into the lotion, Lucian moved closer to Sophia, his touch gentle as he dabbed the lotion onto the bites on her neck. Slowly, his fingers began to trace downward. Sophia let out a muffled hum. Hearing her soft voice, Lucian froze for a moment, instinctively lifting his eyes to meet hers. Sophia's cheeks flushed, and she quickly turned away. That's enough, thank you. You're welcome, Lucian replied, tucking the lotion back into his pocket. Trying to maintain his composure, he resumed his tasks, though his gaze occasionally flicked back to her. Sophia noticed his glances, her expression uneasy but her mind crystal clear. She understood Lucian's intentions. He was trying to flirt with her, testing her reactions with his earlier gesture. The realization brought a sly smile to her lips. Lucian and Sila are in the same group. If I can use Lucian to bring Sila into my circle, then... Sophia murmured under her breath, her plan forming. Having made up her mind, Sophia decided to keep Lucian interested. She lifted her eyes and caught his gaze. Their eyes met briefly before they both looked away, the silent exchange leaving an unspoken understanding between them. I'm going for a walk, Sophia said, standing up and rubbing her arms as she headed toward the cave. Lucian saw her leave and seized the opportunity to follow. The two of them disappeared inside, one after the other. Hey, Ms. Bennett, Lucian called softly once he realized the cameraman hadn't followed them. He quickly closed the distance between them. Sophia raised a hand, stopping him. I need you to do something for me, she said in a low voice. Lucian leaned in closer to hear her better. After listening to her whispered instructions, he seemed taken aback. Are you sure about this? He asked quietly. If you pull it off, it'll get your cast in an A-tier lead role of the show, Sophia promised. Lucian's initial reaction was dissatisfaction. An A-tier role was decent, and in the cutthroat entertainment industry, every ambitious actor dreamed of landing an A-tier role to skyrocket their fame. If you're not interested, then forget it, Sophia said, her tone icy anyway. Once your group disbands, you'll be like Scattered 111 Mon, Chapter 41 Sand. No buzz, no future 1266%. Her words stung, but Lucian swallowed his pride. Fine, I'll do it, he muttered, his voice low and begrudging. Sophia didn't respond. She brushed past him, heading out of the cave. As she did, she felt his hand graze hers, sending a slight tingle up her arm. With a subtle look of distaste, she pulled her hand away and walked on. By the fire, Finian and Atlas were busy grilling fish and shrimp, though the meal lacked the flavor of what Odalise had prepared the night before. After a night of hunger, they were too desperate to complain. Sophia, come over here. Atlas called, waving her over. Lucian trailed behind her as they returned to the group. They both sat back in their spots, avoiding any mention of what had just transpired. Something feels off. Sophia and Lucian both look so unnatural after coming out and back alone. Poor Finian. He barely has enough for himself, and yet he's grilling fish for Sophia. This is so infuriating. The audience noticed Sophia's action of slipping away until the food was ready and even getting Finian to pick out the fish bones for her. The criticism flooded her Twitter, with accusations piling up. After being defamed online all day yesterday, Sophia's follower count had dropped from 7 million to 5 million in just DIDEC day. Her loyal fans scrambled to defend her, but the wave of backlash was relentless. Even fans of Atlas, who had previously stood up for her, had now gone silent. Chapter 42. As soon as the intense backlash against Sophia began, many of her former collaborators wasted no time in cutting ties with her. Even her past romantic co-stars from promotional campaigns rushed to erase all connections with her. Hardly anyone expected that joining a variety show could result in such harsh criticism for a celebrity. Sophia ended up being the first to experience this, making her case a warning for others. Deep inside Group B's cave, Odalis worked near the fire, prepping some pork for dinner. She had also picked some wild greens earlier and tossed them onto a near stone. "I'll make some pork soup later, and maybe stir-fry these greens," she said casually. Stellan heard her and exchanged a glance with Freya. "You two should go check the traps we set yesterday and see if we caught anything," Odali said in a low voice. "Got it?" Freya and Stellan replied in unison. They walked off quickly, as though they'd been waiting for an excuse to leave. Standing nearby, Sila lifted her foot, ready to follow them, but Odali suddenly stopped her. "Wait, Sila." Sila stopped, confused. She turned back to meet Odalis' gaze and asked, "What is it, Odalis?" "I'll give you a divination," Odalis said quietly. Sila blinked in surprise. "A divination?" That wasn't what she'd expected from Odalis. Then she remembered last night the strong winds, the paper charm Odalis had placed at the cave's entrance, and how it had worked. Excitement bubbled up, and she found herself hurrying back to Odalis before she could think twice. "What do I need to do, Odalis?" Sila asked nervously, rubbing her fingers together. Odalis studied her face for a long moment before saying, "You've had a streak of bad luck recently, and it's about to get worse." "Huh?" Sila blinked in shock, wondering if she'd heard wrong. No one liked hearing about impending misfortune, and Sila was no exception. She stared anxiously at Odalis, her hands twisting the hem of her shirt. "Is anything bad going to happen?" she asked in a hushed voice. As Odalis continued washing the vegetables, she said, "Yes, and it's going to get serious. If things spiral, it could end your career in the entertainment industry." Sila stood frozen, her face pale with fear. She opened her mouth, trying to form a question, but no words came out. "You've been harboring a crush on a guy. The two of you have been flirting but haven't made it official, right?" Odalis asked. With a quiet laugh. Hearing this, Sila's expression changed dramatically. "How do you know that?" Sila blurted out, her eyes wide with shock. "You should really let go of that idea," Odalis said calmly, her tone unwavering. "That guy's just stringing you along, trying to use you. He doesn't actually want to be with you. He'll just keep dropping hints, making you do things for him, and milking every bench he can get out of you." Odalis finished speaking, Sila fell silent. Her mind raced, recalling past events. Everything Odalis said matched perfectly with what had happened. "If you hesitate any longer, you'll ruin yourself. This man isn't reliable, and I suggest you cut ties with him immediately. Otherwise, disaster is going to strike," Odalis warned. With that, Odalis picked up the washed vegetables and walked away. Sila remained rooted to the spot, trembling as if she might collapse. The sunlight poured down on her, highlighting her pale face. Sila stared at Odalis' retreating figure, her fists clenching tightly. Tears welled up in her eyes, and she quickly rubbed them away. Then, without a word, Sila turned and headed in the direction Freya and Stellan had gone. The cameraman, who had been filming the whole exchange, seemed stunned, forgetting to cut to a different angle. "What? Is this for real? I want to know who Sila has a crush on." "Too same here. How disgusting for him to exploit a woman like that." "Wait, why did Odalis suddenly bring this up? This is a live stream. Could she be trying to sabotage Sila by saying these things on camera? I think something's fishy too. It feels like Odalis did this on purpose. My curiosity is about to explode. What's going on here? Who exactly is Odalis talking about?" Netizens were stunned. The gossip unfolding in the live stream kept coming, one bombshell after another, leaving them glued to their screens. Me then W more exciting watching some boring soap operas. It was like a real-time gossip extravaganza. This was way more while viewers were busy speculating about who Celia's crush could be. The live stream showed Stellan and Freya returning from outside. "Hey, Odalys." Freya came jogging over, holding a pheasant by its legs. Odalys, stirring the soup, glanced up when she heard Freya's voice. Odalys saw Freya spinning around with the pheasant, a triumphant grin on her face. "Oh, come on. Look what I found. A pheasant." Freya exclaimed, winking playfully at Odalys. Odalys couldn't help but smile at her enthusiasm. "You're really something," she said warmly. "Look. We've also got a rabbit. It got trapped and was almost crushed to death." Stellan chimed in, holding up an injured rabbit. Despite last night's raging storm and chaos, their spirits seemed untouched. "How about we make some spicy rabbit later?" Odalys asked, her tone low. Stellan eagerly handed over the rabbit, and they quickly got to work. By the time everything was prepared, it was already past 11. Their originally planned breakfast had turned into lunch, and there were 4 dishes in total. The dishes were visually appealing, fragrant, and flavorful. Even the cameraman couldn't stop swallowing their salia, amazed at how Odalys had whipped up such a delicious meal from simple, foraged ingredients. "This is so good. I think I'm going to gain weight after this show," Freya joked, patting her stomach while still eyeing the food. Freya exchanged a glance with Celia, who got the hint and walked over to Odalys, gently pulling her toward a seat. Odalys. Chapter 43. Odalys was deeply moved. They had only known each other for 2 days, yet last night, during a casual chat, Odalys had mentioned that today marked her 20th birthday. To her surprise, they remembered. Using their hunt for food as excuse, they had picked wild fruits and made her a floral crown as a gift. The value of a gift wasn't in its price but the thought behind it. Ever since Odalys had been brought back to the Bennett family, he had been ostracized and had never experienced such genuine kindness. But this group of people, whom she had just met, showed her more care than her family ever had. Her heart was a jumble of emotions. "Thank you," Odalys said softly. As she ate, curiosity got the better of her. "How did you remember today was my birthday? You mentioned turning 20 yesterday," Freya replied, her smile warm and bright. Not far away, Sophia heard singing. She quickly approached, only to see Odalys surrounded by Freya, Stellan, and Celia, who were serenading her and had even made her a flower crown. "Odalys, you little bitch. Are you trying to worm your way into the entertainment industry by cozying up to Freya and Stellan?" Sophia snapped bitterly. Sophia had previously tried to get close to Stellan herself but couldn't even meet him, let alone establish a connection. Worse, Freya had openly opposed Sophia, even going as far as suppressing her opportunities. "Odalys must be using them to target me deliberately," Sophia thought to herself. Sophia had been scheming to approach and win them over, and seeing them now flocking around Odalys completely shattered her composure. Standing there, jealousy consumed Sophia. Watching them enjoy delicious food together, Sophia clenched her teeth and was about to storm over when a sharp pain suddenly shot through her stomach. A loud, uncontrollable fart escaped her. Sophia froze in shock as an intense wave of pain churned her insides. It felt as though something was about to burst out. Panic set in as her face turned pale. "Hiss. Ah." She gasped, clutching her stomach as she stumbled back toward the camp. The cameraman, trailing behind her, stopped dead in his tracks at the sound of her fart. A pungent odor filled the air, making him gag. Stunned, he hesitated for a moment before instinctively lifting his camera and following Sophia's staggering figure. When he saw Sophia diving into the bushes, he started to move his camera closer. However, as realization dawned, he froze. In the bushes, Sophia's face darkened, and she shouted furiously, "TM having stomach cramps." The cameraman jumped in fright, his hands trembling so much that he nearly dropped the camera. Quickly, he turned the lens away and hurried toward the rest of Group A, who were in visible distress. Finmer was hunched over, vomiting. Atlas' legs were shaking so badly that he almost collapsed. "What going on? Did we eat something bad?" Lucian asked through gritted teeth. Aholip's had turned a purplish hue, and his face was alarmingly pale. He turned away to retch, expelling a foul-smelling substance propping itself up against a tree. He stumbled toward an empty spot. Chaos erupted within Group A. What happening? Did they all just get food poisoning at the same time? Juan Dad Sophia just fart on camera. Why did she run into the bushes? Mon, January 6, Chapter 43. This live stream definitely has a distinct aroma. Is Group A collectively suffering from diarrhea out in the wild? Lucian's lips are turning purple. This doesn't look good. They're vomiting and having stomach cramps. Could it be something they are? Oh my god, are those mushrooms they were eating? Were they the ones they picked last night? I've heard that after seawater floods, an area, the fish and shrimp had died can become toxic. I'm not sure if that's true, though 66 the live stream audience couldn't tear themselves away, their curiosity fully hooked. They didn't want to miss even a second. Of the chaos, as Group A members kept stirring up trouble, each incident more outrageous than the last, a cameraman, realizing something was seriously wrong, immediately called the director. Upon hearing the news, the production team scrambled to the scene. Meanwhile, Group B members had just finished eating and were lounging under a tree, chatting leisurely. By the way, why did you mention turning 20 yesterday? Does it have a special meaning? Freya asked Odalis curiously. Fiddling with the flower crown in her hands, Odalis explained, I've learned many things from my mentor, and when it comes to magic, it's something I can only fully practice after turning 20, so before today, I wasn't allowed to do star readings or divination for others. But now that I'm 20, I can. Her words left Sela stunned. Sela turned to look at Odalis in disbelief. No wonder Odalis brought that up with me earlier, Sela thought. Though she wasn't entirely sure if it was true, she could sense Odalis' good intentions. Then, what about your prediction yesterday about strong winds? Does that count? Freya asked nervously. Placing the flower crown on her head, Odalis slowly stood up. That doesn't count. Let's go, she said. The others were momentarily taken aback. Go where? Shouldn't we rest a bit? Someone asked in confusion. Something's probably happened with Group A, Odalis replied as if on cue. Kenny's phone rang. After answering, he looked at Odalis with a mix of surprise and unease. You're right, there's trouble over there. Without hesitation, Kenny began heading toward Group A, and the Group B quickly followed. When they arrived, they were greeted by a grim scene. Group A members were pale and weak, with Lucian's lips an alarming shade of purple. He sat on the ground, his body trembling with exhaustion. They've been poisoned. Odalis muttered under her breath. One of the crew members approached the remnants of Group A's meal and gasped. Why would you eat this? You can't eat fish or shrimp that died after the flood waters receded. And these mushrooms are poisonous. Sophia's expression darkened. She shot Odalis a venomous glare, gritting her teeth as she spat. Odalis, are you happy now? We're all poisoned because of you. Odalis hadn't expected Sophia to pin the blame on her. Raising an eyebrow, Odalis let out a cold laugh, staring Sophia down with a lofty disdain. What's that? Did I force you to eat it? Did I pick the dead fish and poisonous mushrooms for you? Ms. Bennett, you're impressive. Always quick to throw mud at hers. You make a mess, and I'm supposed to clean it up? Seem like you've gotten plenty of practice twisting the truth, Odalis said sarcastically. 05 Mon, January 6, Chapter 43. Sophia's face turned even darker as the judgmental gazes of everyone around her bore down on her. 66% Her lips trembled as she glanced toward the cameraman, realizing the live stream was still running. She hastily turned her head away, furious. This is infuriating. In the past, Odalise wouldn't have dared say word if I smeared her. But now, she's actually standing up to me. Does marrying Percival make her feel so untouchable? Is that why she has the nerve to challenge me? Sophia thought bitterly. For now, take some medication to induce vomiting. Kenny instructed. The seawater flooded last night, and the weather is unpredictable. For everyone's safety, well, head back tomorrow morning. This variety show is temporarily suspended. Saving lives is the priority. I've already arranged for a boat to take us back. Kenny was so frightened that he was sweating profusely. Despite the skyrocketing viewership, Kenny knew he couldn't gamble with anyone's life. Ugh. After taking the emetics, Sophia and the rest of Group A spent the next while vomiting uncontrollably, the sound of retching filling the air. Chapter 44. Odalise turned around and said to Freya, "Let's take a walk and see if there's anything edible on the island. Maybe we can find something for dinner, sounds good." Freya replicated, clearly in a inexplicable sense of satisfaction. Mood watching Sophia in her current state filled Freya with Ancilla, on the other hand, stood frozen, staring blankly at Lucian. She lifted her foot as if to approach him but stopped a few steps away. Without another glance, she turned around and strode after Odalise. Stellan observed Salalis' retreating figure thoughtfully before stepping forward to follow. "Odalise, we're all sick here, and you're still in the mood to wander around." Atlas barked angrily as Odalise walked past him. Odalise didn't even spare him a glance. The calmer she seemed, the more furious Atlas became. Looking at Odalise's composed demeanor, Atlas felt utterly enraged. He was convinced she had come over just to mock them, which only stoked his anger further. "Get back here. Right now. Do you have medicine? Hand it over." Atlas clutched his aching stomach and tried to catch up to her. Odalise turned her head slightly, giving him a sidelong glance. A faint smile danced in Odalise's eyes as she murmured softly, "Hey, I think I ate a bit too much earlier." "You?" Atlas ground his teeth in frustration. He took a step forward, but the sharp pain in his stomach stopped him in his tracks. Defeated, he spun around and stormed off. He wanted to take a big step forward, but the pain in his stomach stopped him. He could only turn around and go berserk. "What's going on here? I'm seriously starting to think Sophia and Atlas are losing it. Why do they keep blaming Odalise for everything? Where are the paparazzi? Haven't they dug up any din yet? I'm so mad right now." Odalise got style. She's amazing. If she'd faked concern, I'd think she was pretentious. But not saying a single caring word? That seriously cool viewers watched the live stream with growing disdain for Atlas' shameless behavior. Their curiosity about Sophia and Atlas' relationship intensified. The two seemed oddly close, sometimes like family, other times like a couple, which left everyone baffled. At the Bennett Villa in Crown Ridge, Hannah had been glued to the television for the past 2 days, watching the live stream. Her anger consumed her to the point where she couldn't even cat. Trembling with rage, she pointed at the screen, her finger aimed at Odalise's smug side profile. She began. "That bitch. Doesn't she always carry medicine? She's been trained in survival skills since she was a kid and even learned traditional medicine from her mentor. She knows what to do, so why isn't she helping them? Does she want to stand by and watch my son and daughter get poisoned to death? I never thought she could be this cruel." Hannah spat, her voice shaking with fury. She grabbed her phone and immediately called Henry. "Henry, we can't let Odalise get away with this. When she comes back, he'll make sure she pays a heavy price," she said coldly as Hannah stood up. A strange sensation crept over her. The air behind her felt chillingly eerie, as though something was 66% Chapter 44 watching her. A sudden gust of wind blew through the room, and Hannah's eyes darted upward. The crystal chandelier above her head was swaying ominously. Sensing imminent danger, she moved to run, but her pet darted across the floor, colliding with her legs. Ah! She cried out as she tumbled onto the carpet. Just as Hannah tried to get up, it was too late. She watched in horror as the chandelier came crashing down, bang! Help! Somebody help me! Hannah's wide eyes filled with terror, a sharp pain shot through her leg as the chandelier pinned her down. Shards of crystal dug into her flesh, and blood gushed from the wound. She tried to crawl out, but the agony in her leg was unbearable, as if it had been crushed entirely. Hannah struggled to move, but her leg wouldn't budge. Blood poured from her forehead, and she reached up to touch it. Only to find the blood streaming down her lace. There's so much blood. Hannah muttered in shock, realizing a shard of crystal had been flung off and embedded in her forehead. Her vision blurred, and she nearly passed out. Ever since Odalise came back and took the emerald pendant off my neck after she got married, my health has only gotten worse, and the Bennett family has been falling apart. Could it be a coincidence, or she wondered. Hannah quickly dismissed the thought. No, a simple emerald pendant couldn't be that powerful. It has to be a coincidence. The pain made her fall to the ground. She grabbed her phone, intending to make a call, but before she could dial, the phone grew unbearably hot in her hand. She brought the phone up to her face and, with a loud bang, the phone exploded right in front of her eyes. Hannah stared in disbelief as the explosion left her face burning with searing pain. Caspian, who had just rushed back inside, heard the explosion and rushed in, car keys in hand. When he saw Hannah lying in a pool of blood with the crystal chandelier crushing her leg, he froze in shock. Hannah's face was bruised and bloodied, with a shard of crystal sticking out from her forehead. Blood oozed continuously, streaming down her cheek. If it weren't for the fact that she was still wearing her pajamas, Caspian wouldn't have been able to recognize her. Mom! What happened to you? Caspian hurried to her side. Caspian pushed the chandelier off her, revealing her leg in an unnatural position. He touched it and felt the bone was likely broken from the pressure. Henry, something's happened. Caspian's voice was filled with panic as he quickly dialed Henry and then called for an ambulance. At that moment, Caspian stood there, furious, his eyes darting to the live stream on the TV. Atlas and Sophia were sitting on the floor, pale-faced, their lips turning blue. They were clutching their stomachs before they turned and ran into the bushes. Who's behind all this trouble for the Bennett family? Is it Odalise? Caspian clenched his fists in frustration. Ever since Odalise's marriage, it seemed like each member of the Bennett family had encountered misfortune. Caspian was certain Odalise was behind it. Is she trying to get revenge on the Bennett family, wanting to kill us all? With that thought, he made a call. Officer, I want to report a crime. I suspect someone deliberately tampered with things in my house, causing the chandelier to fall and break my mother's leg. They even tampered with her phone, causing it to explode and injure her face. Caspian's jaw was cold. Do we have surveillance footage? B.A.D. 1905 Mon, January 6th B.B. Chapter 44 66 degrees. Not long after, the ambulance arrived, and the doctors were surprised to see Hannah lying on the floor. They were puzzled that she hadn't run when the chandelier fell. I think both her legs are broken, one of the doctors said while instructing the nurses to lift her onto the stretcher. Caspian stood still. The police arrived just in time to see Hannah being loaded into the ambulance and immediately went to check the surveillance footage. Forensic technicians secured the chandelier and the phone, thoroughly checking them before confirming it was all an accident. The surveillance footage showed no one had entered the house to tamper with the chandelier. That's impossible. How could the chandelier suddenly have fallen and landed on my mom? Caspian clearly wasn't satisfied with the result. Seeing his obsessive behavior, an officer kindly rewound the footage. Is this your family's pet? It looks like it knocked your mother over, and she couldn't get up in time, causing the chandelier to fall on her. If anyone is to blame, it's probably the who's the owner of this cat? The officer asked, looking at Caspian. Chapter 45. Caspian's lips moved, but he didn't dare to speak. The cat that Hall caused the incident was Sophia's, the one she cherished like a baby, treating it like a little prince. It's always been so docile. Why would it suddenly lash out at Mom? Something doesn't add up, he wondered. The police officer gave his conclusion. The chandelier's rod has broken. You clearly haven't been maintaining it properly. The parts that needed replacing weren't changed, which is why the chandelier fell. It had nothing to do with anyone else. Then the officer took Hannah's phone and handed it over, saying this phone is a knockoff. After prolonged use, it caused an explosion. Caspian froze, thinking. This phone? How could it be a knockoff? I personally bought it and gave it to my mother. How could it be a knockoff after all this time? Did I get scammed? Caspian thought it through carefully. We didn't maintain the chandelier regularly. The phone was a gift from me to my mom. The cat is Sophia's. Everything seems to point away from Dallas, but how could it be such a coincidence? The evidence was laid out, seemingly clearing Odalis of any suspicion, but Caspian didn't believe such perfect coincidences existed in the world. Thanks, officer, Caspian said darkly. He had no other choice but to accept the conclusion. After the police left, Caspian grabbed his car keys and headed toward the hospital. As soon as he got in the car, Henry called, and Caspian quickly answered. Henry, how's Mom? Caspian asked in a hushed voice. Henry sounded clearly upset and whispered back, Mom's legs were crushed, broken bones. Her face was injured in the explosion, and the burn marks are pretty bad. He paused, his voice shaking with anger. She has a crystal shard embedded in her forehead. It's in a sensitive spot, and the doctors can't remove it yet. What happened? How could this happen to Mom? She was just at home. Is this some kind of bad luck? But even accident victims don't suffer injuries this severe, Henry thought in frustration. I called the police. They came to gather evidence, and they concluded it was an accident. Caspian gritted his teeth and replied, starting the car and heading toward the hospital. Just as he drove away, he caught a glimpse of the Bennett Villa in the rearview mirror. It looked strangely eerie, like it was shrouded in dark clouds. He rubbed his eyes and looked again, but nothing was there. A bad feeling settled in Caspian's chest. That ominous sensation spread through him, and he almost felt like fleeing. He stepped on the gas, driving away quickly. On the deserted island, Odalis felt the emerald pendant growing slightly warm. She reached up to touch it and found that the heat lasted only a few seconds before it returned to normal. Odalis chuckled softly, a chill flickering in her eyes. This emerald pendant was something Odalis had given to Hannah after returning to the Bennett family over the past 7 months. Hannah had worn it constantly. Her luck had been remarkably better, and even her sleep had improved. What Hannah didn't know was that this pendant originally belonged to Odalis Meritor. It had been worn for so long that it absorbed good luck, offering protection and keeping bad fortune at bay. Those who wore it could turn misfortune into mon, Jan B. Chapter 45 Fortune, Dispelling Bad Luck. 66% Hannah had been struggling with bad luck, and after she wore the emerald pendant, everything seemed to improve. When Odalis returned to the Bennett family after her marriage, one of the first things she did was take the pendant back. Without the pendant's protection, Hannah would likely face endless misfortune. Just now, when the pendant had heated up, it showed that it had been keeping Hannah safe all along. Even though Odalis had taken it back, the lingering aura of protection remained on Hannah for just a moment. The pendant had grown warm, and with it, the last remnants of Hannah's aura were dispersed. This meant that the emerald pendant had purified Hannah's aura, returning to its original, pure state. Without her aura to protect her, something terrible must have happened to Hannah. Odalis, are you in a good mood? Freya asked, noticing the smile in her eyes as she leaned closer, her curiosity piqued. Odalise couldn't suppress the smile on her lips.
Yeah. It's my birthday today. You all celebrated with me, so I should give something back to you, Odalise said quietly.
Freya's eyes lit up, and she whispered.
Can you do divination?
How about reading for me?
Sure.
Odalise responded readily. Freya glanced over at the cameraman behind them and lowered her voice.
Let's do it under the covers tonight, all right?
Odalise agreed with a smile. Upon hearing the divination, Celia's expression shifted. Her eyes flickered with discomfort, as though her emotions had been unsettled by something Odalise had said earlier.
There should be some pineapples ahead.
Let's go check it out, Odalise said softly. Stellan followed closely behind, watching as the group jogged forward, passed through a grove of trees, and ducked into the thick grass. They soon found a wild pineapple before them, much larger than expected.
Why do the leaves look so much like palm tree leaves?
Celia asked, curiosity in her voice. Odalise stepped forward confidently, pulling out a knife and slicing through the pineapple with ease. She held it up in her hands, the sweet aroma instantly filling the air, making everyone unconsciously swallow.
Yes, they do.
But pineapple leaves are typically shorter, thicker, and sword-shaped, with serrated edges and a tougher texture, Odalise explained, offering an impromptu lesson. Odalise quickly peeled the pineapple, cutting it into pieces and handing some to the cameraman.
Wow, it's so sweet and not at all sour.
Wild fruits taste so different.
It's delicious, Freya said as she chewed,
offering her praise. Celia and Stellan quickly agreed, and the group continued walking as they ate. The forest was peaceful and quiet, with thick trees providing shade, even at midday. Odalise moved ahead quickly, her steps steady and sure, and the others followed closely behind.
Odalise, what else are we doing here besides looking for fruit?
Priya asked, keeping up with her. Dis looked around, clearly familiar with the area, navigating without the need for a map or compass.
We've got pheasant. I'm definitely going to stew it tonight.
I'm going to find some wild herbs for it, so I can make a nourishing soup.
Clays and softly.
As she spoke, Di suddenly stopped in her tracks. Freya almost bumped into her, and everyone fell silent at the change in Cedalise's demeanor. What's wrong? Celia asked nervously.
2 Amon, Jan B 19, 0 Chapter 4566. Odalise turned to them, her tone serious.
There might be venomous snakes nearby.
Step back a few paces.
If so, it means there's likely good herbs around here.
At the mention of a snake, Freya quickly backed away, tugging on Odalise's arm.
Odalise, let's forget about the herbs.
We should leave.
Even if you're not afraid of snakes, if one bites you, something could happen out here.
Freya whispered urgently. Odalise narrowed her eyes slightly, then turned to Stellan.
Give me your rope, she said.
Stellan quickly retrieved the rope from his bag and handed it to her.
After taking it,
Odalise turned to him and said,
you lead them back to the spot where we started.
If there's a snake, I'll track your scent after the attack. I've got snake repellent spray in my bag.
Tested around the area before, but the heavy rain last night probably washed most of it away.
After you all get back, take it out and sprinkle it around our campsite.
Stay inside while I'm gone.
Don't go outside until I return, Odalise instructed.
Stellan listened intently, his face heavy with concern.
Chapter 46.
Stellan reached out and grabbed Daedalus' arm, lowering his voice.
The herbs aren't essential.
Don't take unnecessary risks, no, Odalise replied quietly.
She pried Stellan's large hand off and walked briskly ahead.
Finding herbs for the chicken soup was just an excuse since arriving on the deserted island.
Odalise had made up her mind to head into the mountains to search for medicinal herbs.
The herbs neat the snake pit could be helpful for neutralizing the poison in Percival's body, and Chalice had to catch a venomous snake, skin it, and extract the bile.
Even if she didn't care about saving Percival, the bile from the venomous snake's ear was the best remedy she had to get it. Good herbs and snake bile were irresistible to anyone studying traditional medicine. Odalis Selah looked at her worriedly. Odalis walked confidently ahead. Stellan watched her leave and grabbed Freya. Sko was about to follow, spoke calmly.
Don't go.
She might be looking for something specific. We're not as skilled at her.
Well, just slow her down.
We should retreat while she's still looking for the snake. Only if we're safe will she feel at ease. If something happens to us, and she gets distracted, we might all be in danger. Although Stellan had known Odalis for only a short time, he had already realized that she did things according to her own principles. People like her were rare these days. Most people were shallow and driven by personal gain, but Odalis was different. She was pure in her intentions.
We head back for now, Freya said, knowing that Stellan was right.
The group, along with the cameraman, quickly retreated. One hour back in the cave, Freya pulled out Odalis' bag and sprayed Stuk repellent V around the area, casting concerned glance in the direction Odalis had gone. Should we send her something? Freya asked softly. Stellan shook Tuss' head, stopping her.
I don't know if she's planning to catch a snake, and if she is, the snake repellent spray will keep them away from her. But why would Star want to catch a snake?
Didn't she say she was looking for herbs?
Selah asked, clearly confused.
Selah was innocent and didn't fully understand the situation. One air and valuable medicine.
I'm not sure if she's her a snake, but there are definitely good herbs near the NAK pits.
They're hard to find, Stellan explained.
Stellan had knowledge about this in thou Kosame tonal medis, Freya asked, intrigued.
In the entertainment industry, it was rare to form true friendships, and at most Persijako Karjatara private lives to themselves. This was the RST time Freya had asked someone about their personal KP billion found a spot to and said.
I have a friend who's obsessed with medicine after spending time around him.
I picked Jarja Talon per further a fear that as she were talking they se Sophia and Atlas approaching, both wearing angry at fall Dugani maze Firia id Sering Sophia.
Met name day stepped forward, Bilan Kong Saplua from Advanama, a blocks all Mirai Alat mean lacing animity, Certus Tob Day Trang securing we wot the save, he stepped forward soul baked mon, Jan B chapter 46 66% move.
Sophia snapped, raising her voice in irritation when she saw Freya blocking her path.
We're here to get medicine from Odalis.
Sorry, but Odalis isn't here, Freya responded coldly.
Freya felt disgusted the moment she saw Sophia.
Sophia had used dirty tactics to cut Freya off from resources and even secretly hired trolls to smear Freya's name, trying to climb over Freya to take her place.
Move aside.
We're all poisoned, and Odalis definitely has medicine.
Just hand it over, Sophia said, her tone domineering.
Freya was stunned.
She stepped closer and stared at Sophia.
Why are you staring at me?
Sophia snapped, furious.
Head Freya reached out and grabbed her face, giving it a good look.
Sophia, you really are shameless.
What does Odalis have to do with you?
So, you think you can just go through her bag because she's not around?
If you're borrowing medicine from her, at least show some respect.
What, does she owe your whole family?
You're really bold, aren't you?
Trying to force your way into our cave?
What, are you planning to steal something?
You all just stole a piece of pork from us last night, and I haven't even had a chance to settle that with you.
Freya taunted, and Sophia's face grew darker with anger.
Sophia's stomach had been aching, and now the rage made her body shake.
You.
Sophia's eyes rolled, and she almost fainted from the fury.
Freya wasn't about to let Sophia off that easily.
She grabbed her arm and dragged her in front of the camera.
Look, is anyone in the live stream room?
Let's all take a good look at Sophia's true colors.
She's not even in our group.
Last night, she got someone stolen from us.
What does that say about her character?
Now, while Odalis isn't here, she still wants to steal. Is there a cop online? Someone should educate her about the consequences of theft. Is she a repeat offender? Aren't we supposed to stop her from stealing? If we hadn't returned just now, we wouldn't have known that our things were stolen. Sophia, even if you're just a lesser-known celebrity, you represent the image of the entertainment industry, Freya said coldly. Sophia was so furious when Freya mocked her lack of fame that she nearly choked. Sophia thought her popularity was decent, but now she was being ridiculed by Freya Kenny. We're about to die, and Odalise is deliberately hiding the medicine from us. She's trying to kill us, Sophia said, her voice breaking as she turned to Kenny with tear-filled eyes. Kenny stood there, watching her weak, pitiful expression. You're about to die? But you're not dead yet. Come on, and don't mess up Group B's territory. We need to sleep tonight. Freya responded sharply. She turned and picked up a stick, swinging it at Sophia to chase her away. This scene stunned the entire production team. And everyone instinctively looked away. Sophia had always been seen as a beautiful, kind-hearted person, but now, after appearing on a variety show, people secretly referred to her as a bitch. While they remained respectful on the surface, behind her back, they mocked her as a troublemaker. You. Sophia started to say, but Atlas grabbed her arm and pulled her away. Atlas, why are you pulling me? Odalise is clearly trying to embarrass me. She knows medicine, yet she just turned her back and walked away. Isn't she doing this on purpose? Sophia whispered. As Sophia took a few steps, another sharp pain hit her. 1905 Mon, January 6, Chapter 46. Atlas's expression wasn't any better. He leaned against a nearby wall, feeling drained, as though his energy had been completely sapped. I won't let this go just like that, Atlas said coldly. Finian and Lucian sat nearby, weak and exhausted from their stomach issues. Their legs felt like jelly, and they had no strength to say anything. The medicine given by the production team only helped clear their heat and toxins. It hadn't actually healed them. Their stomach pains were severe, but they had to endure. They had to hold out until the boat arrived so they could see a doctor. If they couldn't last that long, they would have to wait for death. Chapter 47. What does this mean? Are Atlas and Sophia out of their minds? Are they involved in the underworld? They're being so unreasonable. They ate something bad and are blaming Odalise for it? What does this have to do with her? One just realized that Odalise is so pitiful. It's like she's being stalked by maniacs. I hope Odalise creates an account. I want to be her fan. She's so calm and collected. I feel the same. There aren't many Y women who are this composed and bold these days. Netizens immediately began to attack Sophia and Atlas. At the front of Bennett Entertainment, a crowd had gathered, some watching the live streaming, while others shouted and cursed outside. Every time someone from inside the company stepped out, they were met with condemnation. Inside the Bennett group, no one dared step outside. The company is so terrible. Their celebrities have no morals, and they're trying to suppress a small-time star? They don't have any class. Get Mr. Bennett out here. Hurry. Get him out here. Odalise is just a background character and yet she's stuck with taking the blame for their mistakes. This is too much. Outside, the protesters continued shouting into megaphones, while the employees inside the Bennett group were all on edge. They had locked the doors tight and called Henry to report what was happening. Henry nearly threw his phone in frustration. He never expected that a variety show would cause such a public relations crisis. Now, people were directly blocking their company. Odalise, do you think stirring up trouble on live streaming will be enough to ruin us? Henry said coldly. He believed that Odalise had intentionally shared these details on the variety show to use the online backlash to suppress the Bennett group and force them to treat her well. But Odalise had never grown up with the Bennett family. No one really cared about her, and they all thought that even allowing her to work as a background actress at their company was already considered generous.
Mr. Bennett, what should we do now?
The assistant asked nervously.
Call the police. Have them arrest these troublemakers first, Henry ordered in a cold tone. Once the police take these people away, they won't dare cause trouble again.
Do they think the Bennett family is weak?
Blocking the company like this is ruining our image, he wondered.
As Henry thought about it, his gaze shifted to Hannah, who was unconscious.
His mind started to crack under the pressure.
In the woods on the deserted island, Odalise walked alone, with a faint outline of her figure visible on the camera. She held the rope Stellan had given her in her hand. She tossed the rope over a tree branch, and using it, she swung herself up p into the tree.
Suddenly, Odalise heard rustling sounds behind her.
Holding her breath, she hung suspended in mid-air, her long legs pressed against the trunk of the tree.
Her body was still as a statue, her gaze fixed on the front.
From the leaves above, a snake, about the size of a human arm, emerged.
It was a triangle-headed pit viper, and it shot toward her neck in a awe-defying strike.
Odalise saw a flash of red as it lunged, and with a quick motion, she reached out and grabbed the snake.
Before it had a chance to react, she threw it hard to the ground.
66% pie. With a loud thud, the snake slammed onto the rocks below.
The viper writhed and began to slither into the bushes, but Odalise jumped down from the tree.
She landed heavily on the snake's tail, and it immediately turned its head to bite her. Odalise drew a dagger from her belt and thrust it forward.
The snake's mouth opened wide, and the blade sank into its throat, splitting its head nearly in half.
The snake flicked its tongue in disbelief as it collapsed. The next second, its head hit the ground with a spray of blood.
Odalise swiftly kicked it away with her foot.
She took a few steps back, noticing a few drops of blood splattered on her pants.
Before she could even compose herself, another snake lunged at her leg, wrapping itself around her.
She let out a low hiss as she felt the pressure of the snake's coils tightening around her leg.
It seemed like the snake was trying to toss her off, but Odalise steadied herself by kicking a nearby rock.
She quickly reached down and grabbed the snake's head, pulling it toward her.
The snake lunged at her, but she slapped it hard, sending it reeling back.
Bang!
Odalise slapped the snake's head twice with a forceful strike, leaving it dazed.
Seizing the moment while the snake was still stunned,
Odalise swiftly drew her knife and, in one smooth motion, sliced the snake in two, tossing its halves onto the ground.
Without hesitation,
Odalise decapitated both snakes, dug a hole, and buried them.
She then carefully skinned the snakes,
removing their gallbladders,
before burying the bodies and the venomous spines.
The small snakes around her seemed to sense the danger and fear, scattering in every direction.
None dared to approach Odalise again.
Once everything was dealt with, Odalise wiped the blood from her blade and stood up, walking ahead without a second thought. Her movements were efficient, her face devoid of any fear, as if she were simply carrying out an ordinary task.
The hidden cameras captured everything, streaming live for the world to see. What?
Did I miss something?
Did she just handle two triangle-headed pit vipers?
Oh my god, Odalise is incredible.
Is there anything she's afraid of?
She killed two snakes as thick as her arm so quickly?
Odalise actually why cut off the heads of the snakes and buried them.
She's so smart.
I heard that even after a venomous snake dies, it can still bite.
There's a nerve in its body that can make it hove, even if it's dead.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
The best way to handle it is to bury the snake's head.
It'll decompose in the ground and won't harm anyone.
If the snake's head or stinger is disturbed, someone could still get poisoned.
When I W her take down that wild boar so quickly, I thought she got lucky.
But now it seems like she really knows what she's doing.
I heard her methods are professional.
Is Odalise a killer?
She's so cool.
I love her.
The live stream room exploded with excitement. Clips of Odalis handling the snakes were turned into short videos and immediately uploaded to TikTok and other apps. Within moments, millions of viewers flooded into the live stream. What was once 2 million viewers watching now swelled to over a million. Everyone's eyes were glued to the screen, watching as Odalis moved deeper into the forest, reaching the edge of a CIR. Everyone's eyes were glued to the screen, watching as Odalis moved deeper into the forest, reaching the edge of a cliff before anyone could react. Odalis turned around and jumped right off the cliff.
What? Where did she go? Did she jump? Is she trying to commit suicide?
That's a cliff. She's lost her mind, right?
She's crazy.
Wait, no, I'm the one who's crazy. Odalis is a legend. Viewers were stunned, unable to tear their eyes away from the screen. It took a long moment for everyone to realize that Odalis had indeed jumped. The camera followed her descent, shifting to the side. As Odalis fell, she tossed out a rope, tying it to a nearby tree, and used it to swing down toward the waterfall. The force of the water hit her as she made her way down, but she managed to push against the rocks for support. Not far ahead, she saw a tree in full bloom, hanging on the side of the cliff. Filled with excitement, Odalis hurried over, reaching out to pick the flower, but just then, a huge scorpion came charging toward her. She froze, then quickly backed up. The scorpion snapped its pincers as it charged at her. Odalis dodged its attack. When the scorpion turned around to strike again, Odalis leaped into the air, bringing her foot down with all her strength. Did she just crush that scorpion?
I'm studying medicine.
I know it. That was a poisonous scorpion. Where there's venom, there's usually a herb. That flower she just saw. I recognize it. Chapter 48. While the viewers were still in shock, Odalis stepped on it twice, then picked it up and confirmed it was dead before tossing it into her backpack. She took the herb she had just picked, tummed around, and quickly climbed up the rocks along the cliff edge. In just a few steps, she was up, stashing the rope into her bag. As she was heading back, she saw a few small snakes slithering toward her. The moment they spotted her, they immediately turned and disappeared into the grass.
Are they that skittish?
Odalis tilted her head, glancing at the snakes. The snakes poked their heads out of the grass, briefly locking eyes with her before quickly retreating, vanishing into the underbrush. Odalis didn't stop to watch them any longer. She hastily made her way back, the sky suddenly darkening with thick clouds, casting a menacing gloom over the area. She didn't have a navigation system, but her sense of direction was good. She followed the same path back, and as dusk approached, just as nightfall was about to settle in, she spotted figures not far ahead.
No. I can't wait any longer.
Should we go find her? Freya was starting to lose her patience. Several hours had passed without seeing Odalis return, and Freya was getting anxious. Seeing this, Sela quietly spoke up, "What do you think? In 10 minutes, if she's not back, well, go look for her," Stellan said quietly. Frustrated, Freya marched forward, grabbed the pheasant, and started plucking its feathers, pulling hard one by one. When she turned around, she saw a figure standing behind her.
Ah!
Freya was startled and quickly stepped back, still holding the pheasant. She looked up and saw Odalis standing there. Freya couldn't help but twitch her mouth, looking at the pheasant in her hand, and chuckled.
You must plucked all its feathers off to kill it, didn't you?
Huh? Freya froze, looking down at the pheasant, realizing it was really dead. She sighed in frustration, tossing it aside.
You're back at last?
We were worried something had happened to you or Ms. Winslow, were you worried about me? Odalis teased. Freya turned her head away, trying to look unaffected as she stood there, saying, who's worried about you?
Guess what I brought back?
Odalis said, almost like she was showing off. Odalise proudly pulled out the herbs she had picked on the way back for the soup. These ingredients are really good, perfect for a stew.
Plus, I found some fresh mushrooms we can eat, Odalise said quietly.
Sila and Stellan gathered around, looking at the wild vegetables she spread out, surprised by what they saw.
You really found wild vegetables?
Stellan's voice dropped, filled with awe.
It felt to him like Odalise had some sort of magic.
She seemed to find everything. There's everything in the forest.
If I'm lucky, I can find even more treasures, Odalise said as she used a knife to clean the herbs, disinfecting them at the same time.
The others watched her for a moment before moving to prepare the pheasant, even bringing over a piece of pork to clean.
By 7 p.m., night had fully fallen.
They started a fire on one side of the cave to boil water for the pheasant, while also trying the mushrooms with pork and making some side dishes.
It was simple bit hearty dinner, and they all are happily.
This soup, I have to finish it.
These wild mushrooms are so tender.
They taste even better than what we get at the restaurant, Stellan said, his voice full of surprise.
Stellan, who had always carried himself in a distant, aloof man, now didn't seem to care about his image.
Freya rubbed her stomach and stood up, walking a couple of circles.
Uh-oh, if my agent finds out I ate this much, she'll definitely yell at me.
True.
I need to get moving too.
I ate too much, Sila said, getting up.
Sila and Freya started walking back and forth, rubbing their bellies, even doing a bit of exercise.
When Odalise stood up, she saw Sophia not far off, staring at her with tearful eyes.
Suddenly, their gazes met for a moment.
You know we're poisoned today and can't eat anything.
Aren't you worried something might happen to us?
Now you're enjoying all the good food and didn't even think to share?
Sophia muttered softly. Odalise raised an eyebrow, giving Sophia a long, searching look before turning and walking into the cave.
Sophia, seeing this, stood there with a mix of joy and restraint, a smile on her face but her eyes full of longing as she watched Odalise disappear into the cave.
She muttered quietly, "Bitch, no matter what, you'll still have to run back to get food for me." Just as Sophia finished speaking, she saw Odalise walk out empty-handed.
Sophia's face immediately changed.
Odalise glanced at her and said, "Freya, Sila, let's go take a shower."
"Sure," they replied in unison.
The group of girls grabbed their clothes and headed off toward the nearby area.
Stellan stood his ground, guarding the cave like he was protecting something valuable.
He noticed Sophia as well, and with a displeased tone, he said, "Ms.
Bennett, this is Group B's territory. It's better if you don't sneak around here."
Fuming,
Sophia turned on her heels and stormed off without looking back.
After the girls returned from their shower, Stellan went off on his own to freshen up.
When he came back, he started a fire inside the cave, and the others didn't seem ready to sleep.
"We're leaving tomorrow.
We agreed on half a month, but now it looks like to go early," Freya murmured softly.
It was clear that Freya was reluctant.
Freya had always left the programs once they were finished, but this experience had been completely different.
Even though she had only spent 2 days with Odalise, she felt oddly attached.
"Yeah, it feels too short,"
Sila agreed.
Stellan remained silent, his gaze lingering on Odalise for a moment, though he said nothing.
As it neared 9 p.m., the group retreated into their tents, chatting as they settled in.
Before long, it seemed that Freya had fallen asleep, and Odalise closed her eyes too.
Suddenly, a whistle echoed from outside, freezing Sila in place.
She turned her head to look toward the entrance of the cave.
The sound continued, and after a moment of hesitation, she quickly got up and walked toward the exit.
Freya stirred, her eyes snapping open as she whispered, "Where is she going?"
Odalise remained silent and watched Salali leave, her expression thoughtful.
Freya, unable to stay still, quickly got up and followed Odalise. "It's so late, why is she going out on her own, acting all mysterious?"
Freya asked curiously.
Mon, January 6, Chapter 48 66%, Odalie sat up, her hair ease-cating over her shoulders. She rubbed her wrist thoughtfully before replying, "She and Lucian are from the same company. They came here to participate in the show together, right? So, was Lucian looking for her just now?" Freya asked, intrigued. Freya didn't know much about Sela, only that she and Lucian were a team. They had come together, but when Kenny assigned the groups, they were split up. "I don't know," Odalie said softly, chuckling. Odalie looked meaningfully at the entrance, watching as Sela hurried back inside. When Sela returned, she saw that Freya and Odalie were still awake, sitting there instead of sleeping. "You guys aren't asleep?" Sela asked nervously, tugging at her shirt. She seemed flustered, her smile forced, and her anxiety written all over her face. Chapter 49. Freya felt a bit confused. She looked at Sela's guilty expression and couldn't help but study Sela closely as if trying to see right through her. "We didn't fall asleep," Freya murmured. Even Stellan shot a meaningful glance at Sela. Though he didn't say anything, his gaze became more playful. Sela walked over and sat down beside them, her eyes briefly meeting Odalie's. She hesitated for a moment before quietly saying, "Odalie, I've lost something. Could you help me look for it? I'm scared to go alone," Sela added in a soft voice. The moment Sela finished speaking, Odalie's eyes sharpened. A smile appeared on her lips, but her expression turned cold as she responded, "Sure, where is it? I'll go with you." Sela stood up, grabbing a flashlight, but was immediately stopped by Freya, who reached out and held her back. "It's late. Maybe you should wait until tomorrow to look for it?" Freya suggested quietly. "There's no one around here. No one will take it." Freya was being cautious. After all, this was a deserted island. It wouldn't be safe to wander around at night. "Something went wrong." Odalie noticed Freya's concerned gaze and gently patted her hand, signaling her not to worry. "In case it's okay. I'm guessing Sela's lost something heavy. I'll go with her and we'll be back soon," Odalie said in a calm voice. With that, Odalie got up and followed Sela outside. Freya watched them go, feeling uneasy. She turned to Stellan and said, "Don't you think it's strange? Just after we heard the whistle from outside, Sela went out. And when she came back, she seemed so guilty. Now she's purposely asking Odalie to help her find something. What could be so valuable that she has to go out in the middle of the night to find it?" she wondered. "Why not wait until tomorrow morning? It would be easier to look for it then. Going out at night, she can't see anything anyway." Freya bit her lip, speaking quietly. Earlier, Freya had noticed the way Sela's eyes had flickered, and something about it didn't sit right with her. "We should follow them," Stellan said in a low voice. He grabbed the flashlight and stood up, walking toward the exit with Freya. When they stepped outside, they realized that Odalie and Sela had already disappeared into the darkness. "Where did they go?" Freya said, shocked. The surroundings were eerily quiet, and the two women were nowhere to be seen. "What should we do? Where did they go? Should we split up and look for them?" Freya asked, her voice rising in worry. Stellan shook his head. "We can't split up. If we're on our own, it could be dangerous. It's safer if we stick together." He glanced over toward Group A. "Let's head that way and see if we see find them," Stellan said, guiding Freya in that direction. Meanwhile, Sela had been leading Odalie toward the beach. Her legs felt weak, and after taking a few steps, she suddenly mopped. As Odalie passed her, Sela grabbed her arm with a pained expression. "What's wrong?" Odalie asked, confused, glancing at her hand of Salal's arm. 1/8 Chapter 49. Sela's eyes were red-rimmed, and she bit her lip in pain. "Odalie, don't go. Huh?
Odalis gave her a smirk and tilted her head, amused. You asked me to come help you look for something, but now you're telling me not to go? Is something going on with you? Odalis asked, taking a confident step forward. Sila, pushed back by Odalis' forward movement, struggled internally, her tears beginning to spill. She pulled Odalis back, saying, Let's not go, but Odalis stood her ground, not budging an inch. Odalis stood there, arms crossed behind her back, her face illuminated by the moonlight as she gazed at Zilali. In a calm but piercing voice, she said, Earlier, it was Lucian who signaled you, didn't he? He's the one who wanted you to come out and meet him. He used you to lure me out here, to the beach. He's planning to kill me, isn't he? Odalis' voice was quiet, but it carried an air of certainty as if she could see through everything. Sila froze, staring at Odalis in disbelief. Don't worry. I didn't follow you. I guessed. I've warned you, and even did a divination for you, Odalis said quietly. Sila covered her face and collapsed to the ground. They didn't say they wanted to kill you. They just said they wanted you to help them with a medical issue, Sila mumbled. Sila quickly stood up, her gaze now serious as she locked eyes with Odalis. Odalis, I just thought about it, and I don't think their intentions are good. They asked you to come out in the middle of the night to help them with their illness and arrange to meet at the beach. It feels off. Lucian threatened me. He said if I didn't agree to bring you here, he would break up with me. You were talking about how I'd lose my career in the entertainment industry because of a man. It's Lucian, right? Sila said, her realization dawning after the fact. When Odalis heard Sila's confession, she smiled and said, Since you're finally being honest, I'll tell you the truth. Lucian is not right for you. He will never marry you, nor will he stay with you. He's been using you to get what he wants. This time, he's trying to please Sophia, and he doesn't mind luring you here to get me to come out. Once something happens to me, Freya and Stellan can both testify that you were the one who called me out. When the incident occurs, they'll shift the blame onto you. If I die, you'll be the one who pays the price. Odalis reminded her in a low voice. Sila gave a soft, bitter laugh, gazing up at the bright moon in the sky. Yeah, just earlier, he threatened me. He said if I didn't agree, once we went back, he'd have the boss make advances on me. Our contract includes a clause about drinking with clients. He said he'd make me do it. Sila trailed off, a bitter smile crossing her lips. She moved toward Odalis and gently grabbed her arm, trying to pull her back. Forget it. I'll just quit being a star. Being an ordinary person sounds pretty good. Sila pulled Odalis a few steps forward, but Odalis swiftly turned around, breaking free from her grip. Why go back? It's still early. I'm going to take a look, Odalis said, and without another word, she turned and headed in the direction Sila had just pointed out. By the time Sila realized what had happened, Odalis' figure had already vanished. Odalis. Sila panicked. She hurriedly chased after her, but couldn't find where Odalis had gone. Frustrated, Sila started heeling back, only to see Stellan and Freya following behind. She quickly grabbed both of them. I'm so sorry. It's all my fault. Odalis is in danger. Sila said, explaining everything that had just happened. Stellan's face darkened immediately. Lucian must have asked you to bring her out to set something up. Did you really intend to get her killed? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Let's hurry, Sila said, and without another word, she started running toward the beach. Odalis moved swiftly, reaching the beach in no time. Not far away, she saw a figure standing at the edge of the sea. She walked up to the person, asking quietly, You wanted to see me? 66% Just as Odalis finished speaking, the person turned around, holding something in their hand and throwing it toward her face.
Odalise froze, her body swaying as she was hit. With a loud bang, she collapsed to the sand. The person quickly approached, grabbed her arm, and dragged her toward the water, tossing her to the sea. The waves surged, pulling Odalise in. As she disappeared from view, the person stood there for a moment, watching her vanish, before quickly turning and walking away. Chapter 50. The next morning, the sun rose in the east, casting its golden light over the sea as the rays reflected off the water. Because the members of Group A were feeling unwell, the boat docked early, and the staff informed everyone to evacuate. Sophia had carefully applied makeup to hide her pale face. Her eyes were fixed on Group B, searching for any sign of Odalise apart from Freya, Stellan, and Sila. She didn't see Odalise anywhere. Atlas, Odalise didn't show up. Sophia whispered as she walked quickly to Atlas' side. Her hands trembled with excitement, and her eyes gleamed with a mix of cruelty and satisfaction, almost impossible to hide. Behind her, Lucian followed with a certain air of arrogance. Lucian approached Sophia and, as he brushed past her, said, "Ms. Benen, don't forget your promise to me." Sophia was reminded of Lucian's words, which irritated her a little. But the moment she boarded the boat and saw that Odalise still wasn't there, any trace of discomfort disappeared. "As long as she's dead, that's all that matters. How dare she compete with me? Too bad she never had a chance," Sophia muttered under her breath. The moment Sophia boarded the boat, her phone regained signal. She didn't browse the internet, though. Instead, she immediately made a call, sinking back into her seat with a contented sigh. Her body still ached, but her heart felt lighter. "Odalise is finally gone," Sophia thought. "Thank goodness she died after marrying Percival for me. This is great. I don't have to marry him, and I'll be the only daughter of the Bennett family from now on." "Sophia." Atlas' voice cut through her thoughts as he looked at his phone. He had received a message from home, and his face darkened as he quickly walked over to Sophia. "Atlas, what's wrong?" Sophia asked cheerfully, her good mood still intact. Atlas looked at her with a complex expression. After a pause, he said, "Mom had an accident. A chandelier fell on her, breaking her leg, and her face was injured when a phone exploded. She's in the hospital now." Sophia was taken aback. The odds of something like this happening to Hannah seemed so slim, yet it had happened. She was hit by the chandelier? What a coincidence. "Do you think someone tampered with it? How's she doing now?" Sophia asked quietly. She originally wanted to go online, but she didn't expect to hear this news. Although Sophia wasn't particularly close to Hannah, she knew she had to show concern. Hannah was her support system. And if anything happened to Hannah, Sophia's position would be at risk. "The situation isn't good. Once we're back on land, we'll go straight to the hospital. Our toxins haven't fully cleared yet, and we can stay in the hospital for treatment," Atlas replied, letting out a low grunt. He casually took Sophia's phone from her. Though Atlas didn't understand why Henry had specifically warned Sophia not to look at the news, he still listened to Henry's request and pocketed her phone. "Everyone," Kenny said into the microphone, standing off to the side. "You signed up for a half-month variety show. Due to Group A members being poisoned and feeling unwell, we've had to cut things short and send everyone back for medical. The previous contract is still valid, and in 4 days, the show will continue. You'll have 4 days to recover. The production team will use this time to find a suitable location to prevent anything like this from happening again," Kenny continued, smiling as he looked at the show's popularity line. 1910 Mon, January 6th, Chapter 5066. Piscilla, listening intently, quietly raised her hand. "So, we're still recording for another week after this, right?" she asked softly. Kenny nodded, his smile widening. "That's right. After 4 days of rest, we'll continue for one more week," he said,
signaling for the staff to bring out breakfast and set it down in front of them. Sophia sat there, feeling a wave of discomfort in her lower abdomen. As she looked around, she noticed the boat was starting to move, and confusion crept into her voice.
Huh?
Where's Odalise? Why haven't I seen her? Sophia's words caused the faces of the other members of group to immediately harden. Their eyes grew sad as they turned to look silently at the sea. Their reactions made Sophia feel uneasy. Someone was missing, but Kenny seemed to have not noticed at all. Did he truly not notice, or? Kenny thought to himself. Sophia felt uneasy the entire time, unable to settle down. More than 2 hours later, the boat finally docked. Sophia slipped into her high heels, swaying her hips as she stepped off the boat, expecting a swarm of fans and media reporters to be waiting for her. However, to her surprise, the area was completely empty. Why is there no one here? Did the production team not invite the media? Sophia was stunned. Her mood plummeted as she realized that the grand entrance she had imagined was nothing like she expected. Sophia had rushed to get off the boat first, hoping to capture the media's attention, but now she stood there, frozen, in utter disbelief. "Excuse me, are you Ms. Bennett?" Two men dressed in suits with ties approached her. Their hair was slicked back, looking like insurance salesmen. "I am," Sophia replied softly. Her heart raced as an uneasy feeling grew stronger, making her feel inexplicably nervous. The men took out their identification and handed it to her. "We're from Pioneer Shield Insurance. 2 hours ago, you called us regarding the accident of a policyholder. You said she had passed away." Sophia was taken aback and panicked slightly. She looked at the cameraman who had been following her and opened her mouth, unsure of what to say. Before she could think of a response, one of the men pulled out the insurance policy and handed it to her. "Is this the policy you're referring to?" "Odalise Stone's accident insurance." "When did the accident occur, and where?" the insurance agent asked, his tone serious. Sophia was on the verge of tears, her mind racing. Before she boarded the boat, she had indeed called the insurance company, briefly informing them that Odalise had met with an accident and mentioning that she would handle the claim. Sophia never imagined these foolish insurance agents would show up at the dock to confront her. "What are you talking about?" "I don't know." Sophia's face flushed with embarrassment, she fumbled for words, and just then, the insurance agents flipped through their records and said, "You called us over 2 hours ago. We have a recording of the conversation." As they spoke, two police officers approached from a distance. "We also called the police. Please cooperate and take us to the scene of the accident." "By the way, was the deceased's body recovered?" one of the insurance agents asked, his tone all business. He was recording the conversation while the other took notes. Sophia's body shook with anxiety. She gritted her teeth, furious. She never could have imagined a day this humiliating. "You must be mistaken," Atlas said, realizing the situation was far worse than it seemed. After all, the live stream was still ongoing, and the cameraman was still following them. The arrival of the insurance agents would only have a significant negative impact on Sophia. "We're not mistaken. The police are here now. Did you file a false report?" one of the insurance agents asked coldly. They had encountered many cases of people trying to commit insurance fraud, and they knew all too well how things could what's going on. "Odalise is dead? How could the production team mess this up? Didn't anyone notice that Odalise went to the beach with Sila last night and never came back? What about the rest of Group B? Did they not report anything about Odalise's disappearance? No one even thought to question why one person didn't rid him. Insurance. Am I the only one who feels something's off?" Odalise had an accident, and Sophia was already reporting an insurance claim today. Who buys accident insurance out of the blue? Isn't that a typical murder for insurance scheme? Could this all be a conspiracy?